Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome to Adding Chapters. Today is the day, guys. Every day I've been waiting for today. And who could guess? I get the pleasure of interviewing the author of Single Sabbatical, Christy Jordan. If you follow me on IG, you know I've been posting about it all week. I'm super excited. She's inspirational, amazing, and I love, 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 and I feel so appreciated that I get to sit down and have this chat with her. So, Adding Chapter audience, let's welcome Christy Jordan. Welcome, Christy. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. Super excited.
Awesome, awesome. We are excited to have you. I might have the whole book. And I have a bunch of questions, but I'll try to limit them because I know you're busy. Thank you so much. So Single Sabbatical. I mean, I love the color. I think the color is very capturing. And I absolutely would pick it up being a woman. And I would pick it up being a man. I just love it. I just think it's very eye-catching. But I want to get more in-depth with it. You know, Adding Chapters about adding to your book and self-improvement and self-growth and women empowerment. And so I'm so excited to pick your brain today. I want you to tell us or tell the audience what inspired you to write this book.
That's a great question. So full-time, I am a psychologist, coach, and counselor. So throughout my journey, just being a therapist, I've worked with thousands of clients. I noticed there was a big gap in resources for singles. And so that's what prompted me to create this workbook, just to give to people that I serve clientele-wise and to have something that's accessible to the general public. And it's online, it's in stores, so you can really get it anywhere. And it really prompted me to release it during the pandemic because there was such a demand for self-development during isolation. And I really wanted to create a resource that was tangible and accessible to anybody during that time.
Awesome. Awesome. I think I love the book. I know I've messaged you a few times regarding just the, it's such a great tool on being able to unpack certain things, right? You carry around a lot of baggage that you may be unaware of. And I think your book, it's like having a therapist, but on your own time, anywhere you go, right? You could travel with the book. You could bring a couple friends over and have an open conversation. And that's what I love about the book. And I thank you as a woman that was able to read it. How amazing and how much work you put into it. It was such a thought process. I want to know, how long did it take you to even create such a masterpiece?
It took me a very long time. I want to say 5 years, to be honest.
Wow.
Definitely years in the making. And I learned things throughout the writing process that I added over time. So really the book, like you just said, kind of having your own therapist on your own time is exactly how it is and set up, because most of the resources that I use in individual therapy, I put in the book so they can be accessible to use and kind of divulge into on your own time. And so all the assessments and resources and kind of questions in particular order are designed that way to kind of have access to therapy, you know, and do it self-development wise.
Yeah, it's incredible. It shows, I could tell. I want to know, can we do a little bit more in depth on the title, Single Sabbatical? It's so, like, I love it. It's very catchy. But can you maybe explain to the audience why that title and what does it mean to you?
Yes. And that's a great question, too. So it's really designed, it's designed to be 1 year interactive journal. So if you complete the book in 1 week, you definitely did not take the time, the way it's designed, to really divulge and reflect and think about each page in depth. It's designed to be 1 year. And so the sabbatical aspect of it is to really, after a relationship, you know, after heartbreak, even if you've been single a while or been dating, it's designed to be a 1 year interactive sabbatical to where you're really taking that time for yourself, sabbatical wise, to utilize each assessment intentionally throughout the book.
Awesome. Yes, yes. What surprised you the most in writing this book? Like, was there any haha moments for you? I know I had a ton in reading this book. I was like, this is so me. This is like, I just related so much to that book. And I hope the audience that's listening, even though the title says single sabbatical, you could get this book if you're dating, if you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you're single. It is just an amazing tool. And please do not miss out, because a lot of times in life, we tend to put everything in a certain box. And I'm always speaking to the audience and like, let's not do that. Let's unleash, let's be free. And so please, guys, if you're listening, do not think, guys and girls, that this is meant for even a woman versus a man, or, you know, being single or being married. It is a book for all. But what did you learn? As I'm assuming that in writing such a great book that you also took something away from it as well. Could you share with us what you took away from it, or what surprised you the most?
Definitely. So for me, and I probably rewrote the book a bunch of times, to be honest, just because it was a learning process for myself throughout the book. So rearranging, putting things in order, to have it, you know, the best to work for the consumer or anybody, like you said. So for myself too, I used every assessment. I answered every question myself, just to kind of see intentionally, okay, what order is the best order to make it more cohesive. So for me too, I learned a lot about myself doing everything from attachment styles to, you know, how people respond to me, how I respond to other people, just through interactions in general. And again, it doesn't have to be geared towards, okay, this is to help you get into a relationship. I mean, even for mothers and children, you know, just in general, how you interact with other people in all relationships of your life, and why we act the way that we do personally. So some, even things like you said, you go through the book and then you kind of, oh my God, that is me, or I didn't know that about myself. I'm so glad I know now that I would love to even share it with other people.
Awesome. I bet. I can't put the book down. I cannot speak of the book enough, because I think in this world where everything is portrayed to be perfect, there are not a lot of things that ideally that anyone could pick up and it applies to them, right? So I love that book, because I feel like there are no one category this book fills in. Like, I want your book to be in every bookshelf of the store, because it could work with everything. So that's amazing. But I know that you're so busy. I know that there's always things happening and things moving for you. And I love just the lifestyle that you've created for yourself as a woman. I think it's inspirational. I love to share your story with others as well as your book. But what's next for Christy? This was your first book. I can't wait. I don't know. Is there another book in the waiting? Is there something else I want to kind of be on the edge for? I'm kidding. But what's next for you? Because you are, I don't think the audience know, but you do so much. And it's like you are able to fit all of that in Christy Jordan. So what's next for Christy Jordan?
Thank you. And definitely, I would like to launch another book next year. That's definitely on the horizon, and more, again, just accessible resources that I see people really need during this time. I'd love to have single sabbatical groups to, again, just to create community around the book, to where even if you have the book or you feel isolated, you can still feel like you have a support system to go along with it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love the idea of the group, the single sabbatical. Sabbatical group. I think that would be amazing. I think that's a great community to start. Did that just get started on Facebook? I think you did, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is awesome. Well, I cannot speak enough about your book, but there's this one thing in the book that you knew of. I have to ask. I just have to ask, because I just think the audience that read this book is going to know, you know, this answer, or they're going to use this to unpack. So one of the things I noticed when I was reading your book was it provoked a lot of thoughts, right? Because a lot of times we don't really think about things. We're just like, and I love that you told the audience if you went through it in 1 week, then you really didn't gain much because it was more of a, mm-hmm. you know, so you had to take time. So, you know, you said you answered all these questions yourself. And so you unpacked, I'm assuming, a lot of things. So there's this thing, there's a question in here about questions of integrity. Do you ask, right? And the second one is this something I would be proud of? Do you find yourself often maybe asking yourself that question? Or is it, because I feel for me, everyone's growing, everyone's developing. And I think like once I read that, I kind of applied it to so many things in my life mm-hmm. on a daily basis. So it was very changing for me because you go through life and you do things and you make mistakes, which are lessons, and you move on. But I found that once I started applying that very simple question, it really changed for me. So is that something Christy Jordan asks herself, or are you way past that question?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a good question to reflect on. And I think that ties into, in the book, core values. And even as older adults, sometimes we don't even know our core values. And I think that's something good to identify, to acknowledge personally. And then, again, aligning yourself with other people relationship-wise or just community-wise that have similar core values. Because if you're aligned with people who don't have the same values as you, there can be conflict that could be simply resolved, as in, again, personal development and just knowing your core values. So I think, again, just tying into the isolation aspect of pandemic, I'm an addictions therapist as well, we can do a lot of things behind closed doors that if people don't know about, it's totally fine, possibly. But if people were to know, so again, I think just that question is, you know, behind closed doors, in public, wherever, all aspects of life, you know, are we living a life we would be proud of or we're open to share? And I think that, again, just with the isolation aspect of this past year, that has brought a lot of people to a place where maybe they are doing things that they might not be proud of because it's way easier to do without accountability.
That word accountability. And there's actually a section in the book about accountability too. I just love the book. I absolutely love the book because I think there are not enough tools out there to allow any price level. So you're not able to afford a therapist because of the price, but you could go buy this book and you could go home and have an open discussion with yourself, which is something that's super important to do. Mm-hmm. So I just can't commend you enough for writing this book. And I love that you gave me an opportunity to catch up and have this sit down, because I've been just telling everyone about the book because mm-hmm. I, you know, women empowerment is important to me because we could fix each other crowns. And so we are to do that and not necessarily have something that we feel that it's only belongs to us. And for you to share this to the world, I just think it's amazing. I do have one final question, though. One final question, I should say, for you. What question do you get the most about your book? What are you asked the most?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. Let's see.
I'm sure you get asked a lot of good ones, but you travel a lot and you're always promoting, and you know, like I'm catching you on one of your actual workshop week here in Beverly Hills. So I'm curious to know if there's like one ideal question that you get asked most of the time in regards to this book.
I think the question I get most is, prior to purchase, just again, who is the book for?
Oh.
They want to know. But like you said, it really is for anyone.
Everyone.
But I think people want to know, you know, is it for me? Am I at the place in my life where I can utilize this book? And it really is geared for anyone in any phase of life. I definitely think there's, you know, I've worked with married couples and do couples counseling as well. And all the assessments I use in marital counseling, I put in the book. And again, I think if the couples that I counsel who may be even on the verge of divorce, if they would have used the tools in the book prior, it would have been preventative to a lot of the conflicts they're encountering as a married couple.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you again, Christy. I really appreciate the time. I want you to tell the audience, where can they find you? I know where to find you, but where can they find you? Social media, whatever information you like to share with the audience, because I feel like this is like an ongoing conversation. We could catch up next month on the next chapter. And so where can the audience learn more about you and find more information in regards when it comes to the book or your profession?
Definitely. So on Instagram, I'm Ask Christy, AskChristy. And all of my links are actually connected to my Instagram, if that's easiest for you. And then with my therapy practice, it's findinghopetoday.com. And again, all my links are usually connected. So if you find me in one place, you'll find the rest of the links to find me everywhere else. And definitely if you have any other questions that you want to ask about the book or follow-ups, that you want to hear maybe on the next session of the podcast, definitely DM us and we can answer those as well.
Awesome. Well, add in chapters. Thank you. Let's just thank Christy Jordan for the time, for sharing with us today. And I cannot promote this book enough. Now, as I promise, I'm giving away a signed copy. Christy, do not go anywhere. We need a signed copy of this book. And I will be posting more details on my IG page, which is yourlove_2021. Please go follow that page and find out how you could win a signed copy of this book. So I'm always promoting self-awareness. And so for me, I cannot come to this audience every week or every 2 weeks and not give you tools that you need to better yourself. Life is about those tools, but life is to live, for you to apply it, and for you to grow. So again, I want to thank Christy for taking the time out of her day to stop in and share with us. But most important, I want you guys to take care of yourself. I want you to love on yourself. I want you to encourage yourself. I want you to know that everything that you desire, everything you dream of is within your reach. And never, ever, ever lose your views or lose your perspective or your dreams because they were not given to you by someone else. You own them and therefore you have a right to accomplish them. So my add-in chapter family, until next time, love, honor, and respect. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to add-in chapters. How's everyone doing? So your girl took a break and it's okay. You don't ever have to apologize for taking the moment you need to get through life. But I miss y'all. So what better day to get back on and see how is everyone doing? And it is Thanksgiving Day. So happy Thanksgiving to all those that celebrate. It's been amazing month so far, a little bit busy, but amazing. But the great thing in life is that we have to see everything for what it truly is, right? So I've been busy. I took a break. I think I've shared a little bit about losing my mom. And, you know, I don't think you ever stop grieving someone you love. I think you find places to tuck away the pain and the, you know, the discomfort that comes along and the uncertainty and the lack of hope and so many things that you are just missing out on by not having that person. And my mom was my best friend, y'all. So it was devastating for me to have to part with her, and at a very young age, you know, because your girl is still young, and you know, it's a taboo, and I feel like I don't share it enough because I feel like I've tucked it away for so many years. It's been, you know, 10 years since I lost my mom, and so November is the month, and this year, we did something amazing. So out of your struggles and pain can bloom beautiful flowers and beautiful butterflies. And so that was what occurred for us this year. So, you know, first thing first was we went and we saw mom. So we went to the cemetery, my siblings and I, and nephew and my brother-in-law, and we had a great day visiting her and just having a moment. You know, that's where her headstone is, but I have a moment with her all the time. But, you know, one thing I can say about losing someone that you love is try to find something that is belonging to the two of you. And it sounds weird because how can you find something that belongs to the two of you when one of you is not here? Don't know if my English is right, but remember, we don't care on this podcast. We are imperfectly perfect. So, what I mean by that was cancer was what, you know, took my mom's life. She fought a very hard battle for a year. She was diagnosed with leukemia, a blood cancer, and that's why I'm advocate so much for that, because we're needing to change the outcome for so many patients. But I'll get on and talk about that another time. But so my mom battled for a year, and it was a tough battle. My sister and I was pregnant at the time with my middle child, and it was very difficult. It was absolutely one of the hardest things that I've had to go through in life. And let me tell you, you all know, you go through many challenges in life, but I would say that this was very difficult. But, you know, somehow God brought me through it. But, you know, my mom lost her battle in 1 year after being diagnosed, 2011. And so for many years, I've always, you know, wanted to honor her, but not honor her attached to cancer. I do honor her when I advocate and I feel like I'm helping other patients and family, but I wanted something that was her. I wanted something that my sister and I and my brother and our children one day will pick up the torch and carry on. And so it was super important for me to pick something that I thought embodied the strong, amazing mom that we grew up to know and love and enjoyed. And that was her side for giving. My mom, yo, she loved to give. And she would call me and she would tell me what I'm doing to help someone else. It wasn't a question. It would be like, you know, I could still like hear her voice when she knows, like, so with my mom throughout the years, she had a way of saying my name when there was not going to be an in-between, so that it was not going to be like if I liked it or not. So whenever I heard that tone or the way she would pronounce my name, I was like, okay, game time. So she would call me and she'll say, oh, we're going to help this person. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, what we're doing. So that she was completely a giver. She loved to help. And it gave her so much joy to help someone else. Like, she would be so happy as if I was sending something directly to her, but in essence, it would go into someone else. So when my sister and I got together and we talked about it, it just made perfect sense to start a foundation that would help others in her honor, because that's who she was. Like, cancer was a part of her life, but it wasn't who she was. Those cords that made mom who she was a cord of main cord of being a helper, of serving others, of wanting to see others be their best self. And always, like, my mom, I think I got it from her, but there was nothing that was really a secret. Like, if she had a bag or shoes and you're like, oh, this is so beautiful. And girl, and guys, let me tell you, mom was for the stars, honey, because she loved to dress and she used to get on me for not wanting to dress up all the time. But She would tell you, she said, oh girl, I bought this at TJ Maxx. You know, it was a name brand, whatever, whatever. She just never felt that she had to keep anything. And that in itself is amazing, because we are in a world now where a lot of times you may need help and you may ask for help, and the response you get is almost as if, no, we had to do our own research. You need to do yours. And, you know, oh, no, I don't know how to help you, but you just did it. And so I love that about mom. There was nothing off limit. You could ask her, how did you buy your house migrating from Jamaica? And she would sit down and tell you how hard she worked and the sacrifice she made to get to buy her home, to have her children grow up in their home. And so it's just amazing how open she was, even to a complete stranger. So it made sense, guys. It made sense. And so Carol Angel Foundation is up and running. And I am so proud of myself and my siblings that we finally got it together. It's been in the works. We've talked about it for many years. And we were finally able to just get everything together. You know how that goes. And we did our first big shipment to Jamaica this past, I would say 2 weeks now, a week and a half ago, maybe, but it cleared yesterday before Thanksgiving. So our director of operation in Jamaica for the foundation was able to pick it up, and I'm going to be sharing some amazing footage of when the children, we have about 18 kids in Jamaica, and that we are able to bless in family. So we'll share some picture on my Instagram. But today is a Thanksgiving day, and I just felt like sharing that part because I don't share much when it comes to my mom, not because she wasn't incredible and amazing and strong and taught me how to be a strong woman and taught me how to overcome obstacles and still hold my head high as if I'm not walking through poop, you know. She taught us so much, and she gave so much of herself to raising us and just being a mom that she never even had as an example. So I could talk about her for days, but it's an emotional thing for me. And if I'm really keeping it real, you know, I can't hide that side. So I almost don't share her because I'm so protective of who she was and what legacy that she left behind and how I want it to be seen by others. But, you know, I'm working through it because let me tell you something. You can't say nothing about my kids, and you can't for sure say nothing about my mom. But you can. It just, you know, won't mean much to me. But so I guess I'm just a little protective of her legacy. But I had an incredible mom. And I feel like I almost could say I still do. She still shows up in my life in different ways. I still, you know, remember and live by some of the things that she has taught me and showed me over the years. So, you know, her leaving, I've had to watch her in so many pain. I've had to watch her go through so many things that I was sad, but a part of me felt like, man, I shouldn't be sad because she's finally at peace. She's finally able to rest, but it's still very difficult. To those that have lost their loved one, I would say, take your time. Take your time because there are no limits on how you feel or how you're going to feel are the moments that are going to trigger how much you miss that person. Are opportunities that are going to come to you
And you're going to wish that the first phone call you made was to that person. And your celebration moments, that part of you, you are so happy to get to the point that you're celebrating something amazing. But you remember that that person is not physically there. Take your time. Take your time, because you have got to find how to unpack those emotions, those feelings, and where you're going to tuck them for safekeeping. Because they will always be a part of you. They will always be there. They're just celebrating above and not next to you. But we're human, so our emotions are still there, and we're still wishing they were physically next to us or physically able to call us. And, you know, I miss my mom phone calls. I was one of those child, okay, that would get like 3 calls a day. I loved every minute of it because we would just talk about everything. She was truly my best friend. And truly my best friend started when I moved out. So that's another topic, but take your time. Take your time to find a space that holds the ones you love the dare the most. Do not go on anyone clock. Take your time. So, with that being said, I didn't want it to get all mushy and sad, but I am very thankful for the opportunities that have come across me that and things that I have accomplished this year. And in the midst of everything, you know, I still celebrate and I still have good laughs. And I still look at my siblings and I'm like, yes, mom would be proud. You know, sometimes I feel like the mommy bear of the pack. You know, I think I may be the mommy bear of the pack, because I think my sister, you know, she's the middle, and my brother is the youngest and I'm the oldest. So maybe I am kind of the mommy bear. But either way, together, we're figuring out life together. And that's amazing. And I think that is something that mom would be so proud of, is that we embody what she's taught us, which is to stand together, fight together, get up together, and celebrate together. So that I know she's proud of. But to my audience that have lost someone, and, you know, just know that take the time to relive and enjoy the moments that you've had with that person. Because those are the moments that's going to get you through the difficult times, you know. Sometimes I have a true breakdown and it's followed with an hysterical laugh because I remember something that mom did to my sister. Those are always the funniest time. Okay, don't judge me. And it will cause me to just crack up and maybe even have me call my sister to be like, hey, you remember when mom called me and told me your secret? You know, so, you know, time, take your time. Take your time, you're allowed it. And those that are love, that are around you, that loves you, sometimes they don't really know how to handle grief. And sometimes it comes across as someone not caring when they are really not truly, you know, able or have the capacity to host you in the season that you're going through when you lose someone. And so I had to learn that God will put people in your life in different season to walk you through those seasons. And so it's okay to let go or, you know, let something go that is not serving you in that season. So that's really what I want to say. I think losing someone is the most difficult thing. We could get into that a little bit more about how my mom is, because maybe I need to share just a little bit about her life, because she was so amazing and incredible. And it's just difficult, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's my prized possession. I feel like sometimes I don't want to pull it out of the box because I don't want to share it with you because it's so important to me. But she was incredible. And we will have a website up and running shortly that you may go and read a little bit more about Mom's story and just what our nonprofit is set up to do, which is to help families and little kids maneuver through poverty so that they could get to the point where they could help their family member. That is how I envision poverty changing. You have got to teach someone and get them out of that mindset for them to turn around and help someone else so that generational curse of poverty can be broken. So don't want to be too heavy, but more to come from Carol's Angel Foundation. And remember, guys, be kind to yourself and never, ever apologize for taking the moment that you really needed to maneuver through life. It's not perfect, and we shouldn't have to get up to put a show on every day for someone to just watch us and say, oh, she's doing great. Oh, she's doing amazing. Oh, she's doing this, because it's not true. We all have our moments. We all need time to where we take a breather and we reconnect with what makes us the strongest. And we find our strength when we feel that it's sometimes slipping away because there are things not going our way in life. But recentering yourself is so important. But never ever get up and put a show on because you feel that that's what the audience or someone that's viewing you needs to see. Be your authentic self. And those that are truly supposed to be in your picture, you know, their picture of life, to stand and walk with you. Trust me, honey, when that camera flash and you hold that picture up, you're going to see those people standing right next to you. Because that's how life works. Anything organically that match organically, come together organically, fits organically, it will stay. Because you don't have to work so hard at making that person stand next to you. Because they came willingly and they claimed their spot next to you. Whether to support you, to love on you, to help you, to provide for you, they're standing there because they choose to. And that is the most important thing in life. Someone choosing you and you choosing them. Okay? So happy Thanksgiving. Until next time, love, honor, and respect.